morning, everyone. thank you for welcoming me to New Hope this morning. My name is Natalie, and I'm a senior at Clarkson University. I've been attending New Hope for most of my 4 years of college, and it's made a huge impact on my life. I really appreciated the welcoming community and the support given to college students. I've enjoyed the fellowship hour, the game days, and the encouragement every Sunday. I want New Hope to always be a part of my story, and I want to demonstrate how I'm growing in my faith. So I've decided to get baptized here in 2 weeks, and I'm really looking forward to it. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship has also been significant to me. I've met my closest friends in this group, and I have so many great memories with them. This past December and January, I went with several friends to Urbana, the InterVarsity Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And both InterVarsity and New Hope were generous enough to support us financially and through prayer as we traveled there. At Urbana, we had an awesome time connecting with college students from all over the world and learning about global missions. I especially connected with the call to go and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. So since January, I've been pondering how I can best serve God, and I think I found the next right step. I've decided to do a year of college ministry with InterVarsity after graduation. Thanks. InterVarsity has been meaningful enough to me that I want to help other college students see God in the same way. So I'll be serving at the College of New Jersey next year. I visited TCNJ this weekend, and I'm really excited to start. Although it's very different from the North Country, it's beautiful in its own way, and God loves every single student and faculty member on that campus, so I'm really looking forward to serving them. So I wanted to thank you all for your kindness and your support, and thanks especially to Pastor Aaron and Pastor Glenn for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. Just as Jesus has entered and been moving in my life, on this day, Palm Sunday, we are remembering Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on his way to the cross. This event is described in each of the Gospels, but today we'll be reading from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. We're not going to have them up on the slides, but you can pull out the Bibles in front of you. So from the NIV, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us your word that we may learn from it this morning. Please allow us to hear and to see what you will and to lead us in your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey's colt, fulfilling the prophecy written about 500 years prior in Zechariah 9:9. Although the crowd would turn against him just a few days later, here they welcome and praise him, calling him blessed and the Son of David. They cried, "Hosanna," which means both "save us" and "thank you for our salvation." Jesus came down to earth and lived a full human life so that he could sacrifice himself to save us from certain death. Our own wrongdoing would have eternally separated us from God if Jesus had not been willing to undergo a horrific death in our place. Let's continue with Matthew 21, verses 12 to 13, as Jesus walks into the temple of Jerusalem and sees the crowds of people selling animals to be used as sacrifices. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." These merchants were intruding on a holy place of worship and making a profit off of those who were trying to honor God. Jesus breaks up the scene and drives them out. Side note, the next time that someone asks you, "What would Jesus do?" remember that flipping tables is an option. just like Jesus rid the temple of the merchant's disrespectful and distracting presence, so he cleanses us of our sin. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. God always intended to have a group of people set apart so that they may be witnesses of his sovereignty to all the nations. This was first the Israelites and now the church. We're created in God's image to display his love and righteousness, so we need to be clean. A dirty mirror can't reflect a person's beauty, and neither can we if we remain in our sin. So I struggle with procrastination, and a big temptation for that is my phone. I was looking through my screen time to see how much time I wasted, and there were some days that I spent up to 12 hours on my phone. 12 hours! Do you know how many productive things that I could have been doing with that time? A lot. I could have studied for my exams, I could have read the books on my reading list, I could have completed the countless crafts that are sitting in my room, and most importantly, I could have served other people. We're called to glorify God with our work. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, and Luke 19, verses 11 to 27, both contain parables demonstrating how we, as servants of the Most High God, should put our talents to good use. Our lives should demonstrate the gifts that God has entrusted to us. However, it's difficult to do that when we're struggling with sin. My ability to serve God well is hindered by my tendency to squander time, and I know I'm not the only one here with a bad habit. We all struggle with temptations, both big and small. We need to be careful to confront and clean out any sin lurking about. Matthew 23, verses 25 to 28, describes Jesus lamenting the hypocrisy and short-sightedness of the religious authorities of the day. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisee, you hypocrites! You clean out the inside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of law and Pharisee, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Jesus accuses the teachers of the law of being outwardly clean, yet inwardly full of death and decay. Yikes. I do not want to be like these people. Thankfully for us, Jesus will wash us clean if we allow him to. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 states, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God is doing a new thing in us. This is terrific news. Now we have to do our part. It's about the time of year that people start thinking about spring cleaning, washing the salt off our cars, although maybe not today because it's still snowing, getting rid of old belongings and dusting all of the horizontal surfaces in the house. At my house, we have to clean the window screens. So this involves popping the screen out, which is really tricky with our windows, scrubbing all the dirt off, and then yanking the screen back into place, all while hanging out of a second-story window. I do not like this chore. I find it really annoying. So why do I bring this up? Getting rid of our bad habits is like spring cleaning. It's frustrating, inconvenient, dirty, and we might end up wanting to throw the window screen from that second-story window. However, it is also very necessary for our spiritual health. Dust makes us sneeze. Germs make us sick. So how bad do you think sin is? Really bad. The good news is that Jesus is here to help. He cleaned out the temple in Jerusalem, and he's cleaning out our souls too. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in those of us who are following Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we want to be good hosts. Confronting our own sin and shame is difficult, and we might be tempted to quit. But let's not reject Jesus like the crowd in Jerusalem ultimately did. Let's allow Jesus to clean our spirits and refresh our lives. Let's do the spring cleaning. Imagine what the world would look like if we all gave full control of our lives to God. I imagine it would be a much better place, closer to the paradise that God originally designed. What can you do today to make your heart a better reflection of God? I'd like to invite the worship team up at this point. While they're making their way up, let's take a moment of silence to think on the ways that God is working in our lives today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the eyes that you are opening today. Thank you for the sin that you are revealing in our hearts. Thank you that we are called to be a reflection of your love. Thank you for that privilege. Please allow us to be clean today and to go out and to show the world what you are and who you are and how you love us so much. I ask that you will bless us as you are remembering Palm Sunday and Easter this coming week. And I ask that you will bless everyone in this church today, that we may be lights to the town around us and to the state around us and to our country and to the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, I pray.